week of a story of a man who became a monk and took a vow of silence. And so when he went into the monastery, he took a vow that he could only speak two words every 7 years. And so this time of silence was supposed to allow him to hear God's voice, to become closer to God, and really grow in his faith. Well, 7 years pass, and he's called into the office of the abbot, the administrator and the leader of the monastery. And so the abbot tells the man, he says, "Man, you've been here for 7 years today. So what two words would you like to speak?" And so the monk looks at the leader and he said, "Food's bad." 7 years later, the abbot called the man back in and he said, "All right, it's been 7 more years today. You've been here for 14 years in silence. What two words would you like to speak?" And the monk is prepared this time for his answer, and he quickly responds, "Bed's hard." So after another 7 years, the monk is called in again. And so the abbot sits him down, and before he can finish reminding him of his 21 years of silence and how tremendous an accomplishment that is, the monk blurts out, "I quit." To which the abbot responds, "I'm not surprised. You've done nothing but complain and criticize ever since you got here." So today we are talking about the next relationship killer, and that is criticism. Criticism. And so, by the way, if you're new, we're in our third message of this series that we have actually called Relationship Killers. And we've called it Relationship Killers because in this series, we're tackling some of the main issues that threaten our relationships. And the Apostle Paul showed us how to win in many areas, including our relationships. And here's what he said. He said, "Run." He said, "Your life is a race, so run in such a way to get the prize." So all the important things in life, like our marriages and our relationships and all of those, we want to run to win, to get the prize. And then he says, look, everybody that competes in the games goes into strict training. And so we're going to go into training to win in our marriages, to win in our relationships, to win in our families, in every area. And so as we do that, we have to actually train in a strict manner, okay? And so here's the thing is he taught us that neglect leads to regret. And in our situation of life and in everything that we go through, we have to realize in our relationships, the things that are relationship killers that we neglect, those things are going to lead to regret in our information, or in our relationships. So we have to pay attention to all of these things that could be relationship killers, but that nurturing leads to fulfillment in our lives and in our relationships. And so here's the thing is that we found out last week that the source of our destructive anger, because not all anger is destructive, some is what we called righteous anger, but in the anger that we don't want to have, the source of our destructive anger is something that's going on inside of me. It's something that's going on inside of us because we always want to blame it on, oh, if she didn't do that or if that didn't happen, I wouldn't get so angry. But what we learned last week is no, Jesus and his half-brother James reminds us, nope, it's in there. It's already in there. And so we learned the source of our anger and how to overcome that. And so today we are going to be tackling this idea of criticism and criticism in our relationships, because that can be incredibly toxic, is when we're in a relationship and we've got somebody in our life that, or maybe it's us, that is highly critical of other people in our relationship, of our spouse, or even our children, or of our parents, or you fill in the blank, is that criticism can actually be debilitating in our relationships. So we're going to talk about that today. And the truth is that this is a question that we're asking is, have you ever been in a situation where you felt like you could never, ever measure up? Just where you're there and no matter what you do, no matter what you say, you just feel like it's never going to be good enough. I've been in that situation. I've felt like that. It's, you know, in my relationships, in different areas, at work. I remember at school just feeling like that, like I will never measure up. And here's the thing, is that so many times that feeling of not being able to measure up is because of somebody, and it could even be you, somebody with a critical spirit about you, is that I'll never measure up because of constant criticism or constant self-criticism, because this can be self-defeating as well. And so criticism in our life can be a huge debilitator in our relationships and on the inside of us. And so the psalmist said this. This was David who kind of felt this way. And you can tell me if you've ever felt like this before. He says, he's talking about other people. He's like, it feels like they sharpen their tongues like swords. Anybody ever spoke to you like their tongue was a sword? Yeah. He says that they sharpen their tongues like swords and they aim cruel words like deadly arrows. Wow. I've felt that way. When people talk to me, it's like, you know, they act like they're trying to help me, but what the words coming out of their mouth do not feel like they're trying to help me. Feels like they're trying to hurt me. This is criticism, and this will kill our relationships if we allow it, if we neglect it, and we don't, and we allow it to continue, and we don't nip it in the bud. And so critical words wound. We all know this. Critical words can be extremely wounding. You know this because you've experienced it. You've experienced people talking to you in a certain way, or people constantly picking at everything that you do, just being critical all the time. Nothing is ever good enough. Nothing's perfect enough. You know what it's like to receive those words on a regular basis. And we all know this, and that is that critical words wound. Critical words, they do hurt. There's that old saying, sticks and stones. But words do hurt, and we know that. And especially with those that are the closest to us. Because how often do we actually, you're more polite to me than you are your spouse. You're more polite to my child than you are your child. You're less critical of my child and you're less critical of me than you are the people that are closest to you. And why do we do that? It's not because we don't love them. It's because when we get familiar with the people around us, it's easy to let our filters go and just whatever pops into our head, we just let it fly. And that can be very, very damaging in a relationship. I know it's been damaging in my relationships. And so realizing that the problem is critical words, they wound. And we have to be aware of that, because if we're not aware of that, then we are going to neglect this relationship killer, and it's going to affect each and every one of our relationships. Amen. And so I put together a list of some things that why other people are critical. Okay, I'm sure none of these reasons will apply to you. All right, this is why other people are critical. Maybe because of their own insecurities, right? So they're just insecure, and therefore they've got to correct everybody else, or to exert control. They need to control everything. That it's, you know, their way is the right way, and as long as you let them control it, then, you know, they're okay. And so that makes them critical. Or they have a lack of empathy. They never put themselves in the shoes of other people. They're just always thinking about everything through their lens and the way that they view everything. Or it could just be stress. They could just be completely stressed out, and you know, our filters get a little bit thinner when we get stressed, right? And so maybe that's their issue, is they've allowed stress to affect their words and their critical spirit. Or it could be good old-fashioned perfectionism, right? You didn't fold the clothes the way they were supposed to. You didn't load the dishwasher the way that they were supposed to. My way is always better. That's my motto, is my way is always better. Right? That's a lot of us. That's our motto. And so, although this is not about you, this is why other people are critical. But maybe, just maybe, I find myself in some of these. And maybe you find yourself in some of these as well. And so today, that's what we're talking about, is how do we recognize that critical spirit in ourselves? Because we don't want to hurt everybody else. We don't want to hurt anybody else, especially those that are closest to us. And so Paul says it this way when he's talking to the Ephesians. Now the Ephesians, they were a church in a city or called Ephesus. And Paul writes to the city, and Paul writes to the church in the city. And just to give you a little bit of context about what he's getting ready to say and why he's getting ready to say it, is the church in Ephesus, they were formed out of two different cultures. They had the Jewish culture that used to follow Judaism, and they were now Christians. And then they had the pagans and the Gentiles that had become Christians as well, and they were all put together, all these cultures merged into one church. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. And so what they were finding was all these people, they had all these backgrounds where they thought, well, no, my culture's right. And no, my culture's right. And no, there's something your culture shouldn't be acting like that because my culture understands better than your culture. And it was this mess that they were dealing with. And so Paul writes to these people in this context. And he says this, he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Now, when he uses this word unwholesome talk, or this phrase unwholesome talk, this is a phrase that in the original Greek that this letter was written in, this actually is talking about, it is actually translated rotten fruit or rotten fish. Basically, it's rotten food. And so he's using, it's interesting that he's using this illustration and he's saying, don't let any rotten thing come out of your mouth. And how many times when we're talked to people around us, have you ever had a conversation where it smelled like rotten fish? You like walk away and you're like, I feel dirty. I feel gross. Somebody's gossiping about somebody else. Somebody's talking about somebody behind their back. They're doing this. They're being critical of other people when they're not even in the room. Unwholesome talk. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. He's talking about our mouths, how critical that we are. He's saying, don't be critical. Don't do that. And he's saying, instead, use your mouth to help build up those that you love the most. Can I ask you a question? How often, when we think back about some of the words that come out of our mouth to the people that we love the most, how often are those super critical? And how often are they helpful for building others up? So here's the thing is, I am very, those of you that know me or anybody that's around me, you can ask the staff, you can ask me, my family, I am very opinionated. I got more opinions than I ever would ever need. And if I'm not careful, I am very apt to share those with everybody ad nauseum because I have really, really strong feelings about things. But the thing is if I'm not careful, that can come off as a critical spirit. Because I can tell you what's wrong with everything. I can tell you the right way to do everything, and I can tell you what's wrong with everything. And especially standing on this platform, the Holy Spirit constantly checks me because all of us have a platform. I don't know if you know that or not. But all of us have a platform and influence in the lives of people that are around us. And so often I have that opinion. And there's nothing wrong with being opinionated. You just got to know what to do with it. There's nothing wrong with having something sharp. You just got to know how to use it or you're going to cut some people. And so many of us that are opinionated, am I the only opinionated person in the room? Some of y'all just looking at me like, I don't know what he's talking about. I'm easy to get along with. Some of us that are so opinionated, we don't realize how critical we come off. We don't realize how critical that we are. And so Paul's talking to people that disagree from a cultural standpoint with each other. And he's saying, would you do this? Make sure that you keep the main thing the main thing. And that's that Jesus is Lord, that he died and rose again for our sins. And that's the main thing. And if you can agree on that, then you can disagree on a lot of stuff, but you can still be unified. Do not let unwholesome, putrid, rotting fish smelling conversations come out of your mouth, but instead only what is helpful for building others up. When we have conversations with others, are we thinking about what's helpful? Well, yes, I am, because I know that I'm helping them, and because they need the truth. and the truth will set them free. And so I'm going to give them the truth right between the eyes with both barrels, because that is what's helpful for building them up. And yet, when we're on the receiving end of that, it doesn't feel so helpful now, does it? Huh. See, and the reason that I can pick on that person is because I am that person. I am that person. There's some kind of messed up thing in my head that thinks, if I could just give you the truth as hard as I can give it to you, it'll help you. Let me say this. If the truth is given with a critical spirit, it smells rotten. And so I got to check my heart in why I'm delivering you the truth. I got to check my heart. Is that just so I get off my chest and so I'm right because I told the truth? Or am I telling it in a way and for the reason that you would receive it? Because communication is not just that you said the right thing. Communication is that they heard the right thing. And it's my responsibility to make sure that people that I'm talking to, they hear my heart, that they hear the right thing. And that's not just, well, I said it. I read the scripture. And that's it. And that's the truth. It's bigger than that. And so Paul says, look, don't let any unwholesome thing come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to whose needs? My need to get this off my chest and tell you the truth. According to their needs. Now, let me say this. The truth is the truth is the truth. There is no relative truth. The Word of God is the truth. And so it's not based upon your culture. It's not based upon how you feel about it. It's not based upon any of those things. The Word of God is the truth. And the truth is the truth regardless if you feel how you feel or not. Gravity is the truth. And so if you jump out of a plane not expecting gravity, I don't believe in gravity. Well, that's great. But you are going to fall at an accelerated rate of speed until you hit the ground, whether you feel like truth, you know, gravity is the truth or not. So here's the thing, though. Truth is truth. And Paul doesn't pull his punch in regards to the truth in other areas. But it would seem that in this situation of us, our relationships, it could be in the context of marriage, it could be in context of the church, our relationships, it would seem in the context that Paul is writing this letter, that he's concerned about more than just it being true. He's asking the question. He didn't say, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is true in this context. He says, but what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. Are you seeing a pattern here in when he's talking about not being critical? He's saying, no, don't be critical. Don't let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but focus on some of these other things, which is other people. Think about somebody other than me. So, according to their needs, that it may benefit who? Those who are listening. Once again, he just like quadruples down here, them, that it would benefit them. And so when we're talking about in context of our relationships and in context of who the people that we love, and also in the context of how we receive feedback from others, we've got to make sure that we're all have this biblical and this godly mindset as far as how we communicate with each other and how we interact with each other. I've said this many times. You know it's an election year, right? And you remember what happened last time, right? They did everything they could to figure out what separated us, and they just hit that wedge over and over and over and over and over. Are they going to do that to us again this year? Are you going to fall for it? Well, now, be careful before you say that, because you don't know what they're going to pull out yet. But mark my words. Remember this moment, because you're going to go, oh, this is what they pulled out. Yeah, but I... Oh, but this is what they're putting. Yeah, but. Come on. What will benefit us as a people? What will benefit us as a couple? What would benefit us and our unity? Paul is talking to a body of believers that was potentially trying to be separated by the culture that was around them. And we're not going to let that happen to us again. Because here's the thing, encouraging words, if they're really encouraging, if it's the truth delivered in the right way, they build each other and they heal each other. And that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about, is switching from a spirit of criticism to a spirit of building. Now, the truth is that sometimes you gotta tell the truth. There are situations where it's like, no, I'm gonna have to shoot you straight here. And I don't want it to sound like criticism because it's not criticism in my heart. So how do I deliver that? Well, the question, here's the thing. Is your purpose and is your intent frustration? Or is your intent them, to build and to heal? And let me tell you, if we can fix this in our heart before we open our mouth anywhere, it will fix so much of this. Amen. It'll fix so much of this. Now, there are situations where no matter, that may call for you to tell the truth in a situation. And there are, our society has put us in a place where you can't, there are certain areas where you can't disagree with somebody and what they believe about something without hating them. So if I disagree with your take on gender, then you gotta be careful because there are certain pockets that, I mean, it's not okay that we just disagree. We just agree to disagree. No, if you disagree with me, you hate me. And I'm not talking about that because that's an unfair expectation. Will you disagree with me about disagreeing with you, so therefore do you hate me? So that's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is when you do need to come to somebody with the truth, your spouse, your child, a coworker, something like that, and you do need to go, here's the question is, are you going to get it off your chest? Are you going to, for your benefit, or is it for their benefit? Because that's going to determine how you deliver the truth. Josh McDowell says this about raising kids, raising students and youth, is that rules without relationship lead to rebellion. So here's the thing. Is if you have not invested in that person's life, whether it be your child or a coworker or maybe even a spouse, if you haven't invested enough to have influence in their life, then just because you tell the truth, you're gonna get some pushback. So you have to earn the ability to speak into that person's life. And so that is something that if we don't understand, we're just going around, like me, I'm opinionated, I'm just gonna go around and give everybody my opinion. Well, they don't know who I am. I'm just a jerk at some point. So we've got to be careful with that. We've got to ask these questions. Is it helpful? Will it build up? Is it other-centered or is it self-centered? Will it benefit them? These are all pulled from that scripture. Will it benefit them? The epitome of spiritual maturity is other-centeredness. The epitome of selfishness the epitome of a lack of spiritual maturity is selfishness. So the bottom line question is it others-centered? 2 Corinthians says, you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry. In other words, you guys you've done really well, and your life is like a letter from Jesus himself. And which is the result, Paul's saying, of his ministry, written not in ink, but with the spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And so if we allow God to write on the tablet of our heart, gentleness and love, how Jesus told the truth, but he told the truth differently to different people. Well, yeah, but Micah, Jesus wasn't always encouraging when he told the truth. Yeah, you're exactly right, but who was he talking to? He was talking to the people that were critical of others, that felt like they were better than everybody else because they had all their opinions and their opinions were right and they would never listen to anybody else. Even if it was to the pain and the hurt of other people, their opinions were right. These are the people that Jesus was rough on. But how did he react? How did he interact with the lady that was caught in adultery? How did he react to those that were repentant and humble? That is how he reacted. James, the brother of Jesus, says, those who consider themselves religious, in other words, spiritually mature. So I consider myself spiritually mature. I mean, I got some room to grow, but I consider myself spiritually mature. And so James says, well, all right, those who consider themselves spiritually mature, and then he steps on my toes. And then he gives me the gut punch. If you think you're spiritually mature and yet you do not keep a tight rein on your tongue, I lie to myself. I deceive myself. Huh. and my spiritual maturity is worthless. That hurts. That hurts. So if I've got a critical spirit, if I've got a spirit that always sees everything wrong with everything else, and but yet I justify it as, well, I'm just trying to improve everything. Okay, but the question, once again, is digging down on the inside of me and saying, why am I voicing it? Why? Is it for me, or is it for building others up? And I've got to get to, and nobody else can tell you that. They can tell you how you're acting, and that might help you figure it out. But really on the inside is why am I saying this? And also, if I have searched my heart and my heart is pure and it is really for their benefit, and yet people constantly feel harmed by my constructive criticism, I've got to ask myself the hard questions is, okay, so where's the disconnect? What accounts for the gap? It's a hard one, I know. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So there is a place where we sharpen each other, and we're supposed to sharpen each other, and that's good. And so there is a place where you do have to figure out how to receive. Not all criticism is destructive. Some criticism is constructive, but how do you, if you're insecure, that's hard to take. So how do we receive constructive criticism? Well, Proverbs says, whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. That's what I want to do, is I want to be at home among the wise. And those who disregard discipline despise themselves. I don't want to do that. But one who heeds correction gains understanding. So it is good to listen. And look, I can learn from people that are, say it in the right way, but I say this, this is one of my soundtracks I say every day. I can learn from people who are for me, and I can learn from people who are against me. And so they don't, I would rather you phrase it nicely. But just because you don't phrase it correctly doesn't mean that there's not truth in it that I can glean from it. And so if I reject everything that is not palatable to me, then there is an immaturity that is in me. So I do my best to get over that and not get offended. Stop. Here's what I want you to do this week. Just this week, try it just for 1 week. Stop and replace every critical thought that you have that's critical for your benefit, not for theirs, right? Stop and replace it with a new soundtrack. A soundtrack, and if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, maybe you're new. Our last series was called Soundtracks. It's all about the stuff we let play over and over in our head. Go back and listen to that if you need to. But sometimes I have a critical spirit in me that I have to go back and I have to write a soundtrack that overwrites that critical spirit. And so if that's you here today, and maybe you've recognized some of these things in yourself. We all recognize them in other people. That's a given, right? But maybe, just maybe, as I have, you've recognized some of these tendencies in yourself. It could be with your spouse. It could be with your children. It could be with coworkers. It could be with society in general. But maybe you've recognized a critical spirit on the inside of you. And maybe it's a place where we need to reprogram that into something that's a little bit different. Like for me, I can receive from people who are for me and from people who are against me. But maybe it's I see the good in every situation. Maybe it's I am not quick to judge, and I'm slow to speak. But find a new soundtrack that you can overwrite. And every time you're triggered, and every time I know what they should do, go back to that soundtrack and just say it to yourself and repeat it until it actually forms something on the inside of you. And ask these questions. Is it helpful? Is it helpful to them? Will it build them up? Is it others-centered? Or is it just all about me and what I believe and my opinion and that kind of thing? Is it other-centered? And will it benefit? Will it actually benefit them? If we can ask ourselves these questions, if we can really be honest with ourselves, then we can actually kill the relationship killer of criticism. Will you stand with me?